This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Gotta call Yahtzee on that. Doesn't feel like hump day.
No.
It feels like already the weekend.
It feels like Thursday already.
At least.
That's right.
But, you know, literally.
Yeah.
Maybe. Barely. Yes. It's our Wednesday open, I guess.
I mean,
it's
the
same every week.
It is Wednesday. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like hump day, though.
No. I was thinking about your being 60, and while I didn't line up 7 guests today to discuss it, I thought maybe like golf or if you're anything else, biking, anything else you do, shouldn't you be able to get in some like some new age groups and beat people? Like if you're shooting in the 70s anywhere at age 60,
yeah,
you should be playing somebody. You should be competing, I think.
Well, that's the thing about this is I played alone today, but normally I play with other gentlemen who are. I got to stop calling them older. They're my age, I think mostly. Some are retired, so I feel like they're a little older than me. But you know, whatever. You could be my age and be retired, I suppose. Plenty of people have done that. Not that I'm ready to do it, but when I play
I mean,
on
Micah Hyde is retired.
Right.
How old is he?
When I play on the weekends with my son and with Jeremy, we're playing a match. And nobody's scoring really low, but we're like all within a stroke or two of one another. And every time so far this year that we've done that, I put up a double or a triple somewhere, and I lose.
Yeah.
I blow it.
You choke.
Completely blow it. And that does not – today, I shot 2 over par today. I hit 11 greens.
Mm-hmm.
11 greens, Mike. Like, I haven't hit 11 – I don't hit 11 greens in 5 rounds. I get in, you know, by myself really quick, you know, no waiting around for anybody you're playing with. I was 6:15 in the morning. I never saw another soul in front of me the whole time. So it's just, you know, see the ball, hit the ball, walk up to it, hit the ball. Really, really great. So I don't know about competition. I might be a choker.
You might not want it.
I might be a choker. I think it's possible that I am.
Well, isn't that the next frontier then?
Well, we're playing Saturday. Jeremy, Sneaky Joe, and Owen.
How do I get in on one of these games?
And Owen's only going to play nine holes, though. He's got some sort of 4th of July obligations or something he's got to go do. So I need to show up on one of these Saturdays is what I need to
do. I'm the opposite of you, I think.
You're better when the heat's on?
Oh, my line is, wait till these people see how great I am.
Okay, wow.
The last time I played with Jeremy, I shot 83, and I don't think I've done that twice in 5 years.
You played pretty well when we played last year, I thought.
I do, but this is kind of interesting to me. So at my peak, when I was playing constantly, I was very competitive, even with myself. Like, I wanted to beat scores. I wanted to set records, my personal records, you know? I wanted to beat the guy I was playing with. And I felt like that was part of the challenge of it. And then I had a moment, and this is really when I stopped playing, when I just got, like, really negative because I wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't winning. I wasn't not even winning, like, I have to beat you, but just I wasn't meeting goals that I had set for myself. Mm-hmm. I was getting worse.
Yeah.
And I felt like my attitude was contributing to that. So what I did, and this is how I am, it's not something I'm proud of as a trait, but what I do in that moment is I just give up. And I haven't played 5 rounds a year ever since.
Yeah.
Like, so I was that way. And when I was playing in the rare tournament, or, you know, I did a couple at the club I was at, I did with the one in Orchard Park, and I was usually at my best in those.
Hmm.
But now it's more casual, and I want to make sure it stays that way, and then I don't get negative again and want to just give up.
That is.
So when I hit a bad shot, I kind of try to laugh it off.
Right.
And when you do that, I don't know that there's a middle ground. Like, I think when you become the person who decides, it's how my father was when he played, I just don't care what I shoot. I want to hit the ball farther, you know, next time. I just want to just have fun with this and put no unneeded pressure on myself. Then when you start to, sort of turn that back a little bit, I don't know what you're left with.
Yeah. I think we've definitely talked about this off the air. I don't know that we haven't talked about it on the air recently because I went for a lesson a couple of weeks ago. Jeff Metis, who's with the Tee to Green show. And I had been reluctant to do that since I started playing again, because this balance that you're describing is very important to me. I want nothing more than to not get upset while I'm playing golf.
Right. That's number one.
That is what I want out of it the most. I don't want to get upset. If I'm not putting a lot of time and energy into practicing, all I do is go play rounds. And I've improved because of that, simply. I mean, just repetition, right? Even with flaws in my swing and bad habits or whatever, like, I got better playing a lot, the most I've ever played in my life. But I've not wanted to take the step of, like, digging in at all because I was worried that would throw off that rage equilibrium, you know, like the frustration level, like, oh, I tried and now what? Like, I went for an hour for a lesson, right? So I'm still telling myself that, like, I haven't really dug in. I went for an hour. It helped me a lot. The reason I'm hitting 11 greens today is I don't have to aim 20 yards to the right to try to hit the middle of a green because this meat has fixed my hands and whatever. I'm able to hit the ball where I'm aiming more consistently, and that's helping a lot.
I think the big question is, what do you want from it? And that is always, that's fluid.
Yeah.
And I think it's really hard to find a space where you're getting everything you want from it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, casual fitness, you know, you're in modest ways setting goals and trying to achieve, but you're not trying to win anything.
No.
And then when you do that, how do you feel if you don't? I mean, what happens if you don't? And trying to find a balance there, I don't think it's not easy for me. It's not easy for me to find.
No, it isn't.
Enjoy this, but also feel like it's actually sports.
I got to a place where I was consistently under 80 last year, all year, at Delaware anyway, right? Other places, it's, you know, I break 90 at Ivy Ridge, and I'm like, oh, that would be amazing still. But Delaware, I'm under 80. This year, because I'm workshopping, I've been kind of anywhere from 75 to 85. So I have not been playing as well as I had been even last summer, but I'm still good. I'm not upset about it because I feel like I'm trying, in the big scheme of things, I'm trying to improve. So I'm trying to get rid of bad habits, and so far, so good. I mean, what I'm shooting for, what I want to get out of it right now is an even par round. I shot 71 once last summer and never got close to that again. Not close. I mean, 75 was a pretty regular score for me, but like it never felt like while I was playing around, except for that one time, like if I birdie 18, I'm even on the day. And of course I didn't birdie it. And today was the same thing. I was one under on the 14th tee, hit the green, and I three putted. And that didn't unravel. I made a bunch of pars I ended up just two over on the day. But I bogeyed 16 and it just got a little sideways after that three putt. I want to ask you a question, if I may sidebar. It's golf related. How do you feel about gimmies? Because I'm playing by myself. There's nobody to tell me that's good.
No, you could never take a putt.
Right, and if there's nobody there to tell me, I'm going to putt. And that's how I three-putted after, I had like a 30-footer for birdie, like not a high hit rate there, but I left it, 2 feet short. I'm like, well, I'm going to putt this, and I missed it. And if I was playing with you or my son or Jeremy or anybody who said, you're good, and I would have picked it up and I would have kept my par train going, but because I had to stand there and make the putt, I missed it.
Well, why do we have gimmies?
Move, play along.
Keep it moving, although it really shouldn't take that much more time.
Right.
But, it's good for everybody. Everybody's happy with gimmies, so
yeah,
it works. Wink, wink. We all win here. Pick it up. So that's there. I also don't like to bend over all the time.
Right.
I'd rather just be able to pick the ball up
from
my putter.
I often feel like if it's for par, I want to hear the ball in the hole. Like, if I'm putting for a 5 or a 6,
whatever,
and you tell me that's good, fine. Like, I don't care.
Well, if you're competing.
Yeah.
If you're competing, then the rule is, like, if you're in a match or something, you can't refuse the gimme.
Right. Somebody tells you that's good. Like,
that's
you're picking it up.
That's the end of it.
Right.
You can't go, no, I want to putt it. Like, if you're in a match, that's the rule.
Right.
But, do what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, most of those putts you're going to make.
Yeah, most, except
4 feet.
Except today on 14, I missed.
4 feet, you probably should have to make it.
Yeah.
2 feet.
Right. That's what I missed today.
At Delaware?
Two feet. Yeah. No,
at Oakmont.
There's nothing funny going on at the hole, mostly. There's one hole where they sometimes put the pin in this absolutely diabolical spot that, makes me want to set the whole complex on fire. But other than that, it's, pretty straightforward. Like, you got to really screw up a putt to miss a 2-foot putt, and I did.
Golf is so fascinating for what it does to you mentally and what you learn about yourself in that way. And like, even though I'm hardly playing anymore, what I'm telling you is like, it's almost profound to me. Like, learning about what is this really about for me? Is this just about a walk in the park? No, I have to admit it's worth more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just here to get steps. Right, I want to do well, but I also don't want to care that much that because I don't practice or put in like the full reps that I don't want to expect too much.
Right.
So, like, it's just fraught with frustration.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not really diligent about it, I think you're going to be frustrated almost no matter what. My favorite golf story for this is the time I played with Pete Guelli. Before he left, he was with the Bills, then he left, now he's back with the Bills. But he had me out one time, and I was, thrilled. And when I was playing all my golf, and I'm not trying to, bore everybody, although I'm probably doing it with, personal sport, oh, wow, you're an athlete now? No, it's not like that. But I think this was a really interesting thought experience, is when I would play Rochester, mostly it kind of ended there because I had 50 hookups and it was just like the best. I was working mornings,
mm-hmm.
So when I would play there, it was pretty much every day. And on Saturdays, with the McEntees, was a big outing every Saturday morning in Greece. And I was always responsible for the scorecard. So I would drive the cart, because that's where the scorecard fits, right in the steering wheel, and keep everybody's score. And the guys would talk about how, like, this scorecard is immaculate. I mean, no mistakes. It's, like, perfect. That's me. Like, the writing, everything.
Circles and squares. And
circles and squares and diamonds. Like, all of it. Barkies, monkeys, birdies, sandies, all of it. Everything was just, like, denoted. And we'd get to the bar and, like, here. So, you know, I would play pretty well. I broke 80 for the first time with those guys. I would play all right. But when I went out this one time with Pete, it's a private club. I pull in, open the trunk. There's somebody to take my clubs. We go. He drives. You drive a cart. He drives the cart. And I'm just, you know, chatting with him. And it's a nice summer day. And at this club, the hole numbers are, you know, embedded into the tee boxes. Okay. Like, there's not a little stand there. There's like a, it's embedded into the ground.
All right.
And I went up to hit my drive on a hole, and I looked at the ground, and it said 18. And I said, we're already on 18? And like that alone was like a foreign concept to me, because I never didn't know what hole I was on.
Because you're not looking at the scorecard.
And what I was shooting. And I was like subconsciously obsessed with that. Like, I had to know the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But on this day, I wasn't in charge of all that. He was just my host. I got to the 18th tee, like, oh, this is 18. Put a ball in the fairway. He hit one to the left of me. He drives the cart and parks it in between our balls. He goes to hit his second shot. I lean over to look at the scorecard. I'm like, oh, I've got par for 76. That would be a career best.
Right.
This is insane. Like,
right.
I haven't even been paying attention, and this is really happening. So I dump the second shot in the right bunker beside the green. I leave the third shot in the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know what's on the line. I do get up and down. Like, I make a six for 78.
This sort of flies in the face of your earlier announcement about being clutch. Maybe you needed people there watching. It wasn't a match.
Well, this was like a... I wasn't competing.
It wasn't competing, but you suddenly, when you knew you were competing for your with yourself, then you got tight.
Yeah. You know, I made six.
Yeah.
78. I've never broken that. I consider it the best round I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I love it because of the fact that I was not...
You had no idea.
I let go.
The whole time, right.
I let go of the control of the stats, you know, and telling everybody if they're up. Like that kind of thing, because that's kind of how I am. So, you know, I don't consider clutch. I just feel like I like the competition.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I can rise to that. But even then, what is it? It's small potatoes, you know. It's not
sure,
like really
right.
playing for
But it
for
feels
money.
Good when you're playing with, you know, against people. Even like what we're doing on Saturday mornings when we're all together isn't like there's no stake. Other than just, you know, I got you.
Pride.
Yeah, right. And Jeremy's still mad. Owen beat him. I washed out. Again, I wasn't even in it by the time we finished up. But Owen beat Jeremy by one stroke the last time we all played together. And he birdied the most impossible, lucky hole. Like, there's just no way. No one birdies this hole. You can't hold the green. It's just a preposterously ridiculous golf hole. Maybe one of the worst golf holes. Holy cow. Have I never said golf hole? One of the worst holes in Western New York. It's just so hard to do anything with it. And Owen somehow got his ball, his tee shot, to like stick 3 feet from the pin, which nobody ever does, and he birdied. And that's how he beat Jeremy. And Jeremy's still like, he beat me by birdieing 10. That should not count. That's not skill. That was just dumb luck. So anyway.
I remember playing once in the Rochester years with my accountant. And it was also like he was hosting. It was a private club. And we were done. And Arnold Palmer could that be the same day? Palmer played Blue Heron in a charity event. And I was across from him. I wonder if it was the same day. But there was a day there where we were done playing, and my guy was like, let's go play nine. We're just four of us are sitting at a bar. So let's go play nine for $50 a guy. And like that was a lot of money. So like, well, okay, I guess we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And that was great. He was a mess. My guy, who was like a single digit,
right,
fell apart, right, for the $50. We lost anyway, but yeah. I know I was great. So I don't know, like something weird about it.
I also do think, I mean, I don't know, how deep do I want to go here on, like, you know, behind the music on my golf game? The Saturday mornings, I don't drink during the week. So when I play during the week, I haven't had any beers since like probably Saturday afternoon. When I play like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, like I did this week. And like I play well during the week with people or without, like I said. Saturday, like usually Friday night, we get done. I'm going to go have a couple at the bar, and I feel I'm long gone past the days of like, oh, I'm better when I've had a few drinks or I'm hungover. Like that was in my 20s. That was a lie you told yourself so you could stay out partying until 3 in the morning when you had an 8 o'clock tea time. And that does not exist to me anymore. That's another factor on these Saturdays. I flub little chip shots around the green that I do not flub on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But on Saturday, I'm just not, oh, I'm not 100%. I might be 96. It's not like I'm drinking 20 beers or something, but even 3 beers I feel now on Saturdays. But maybe that's just an excuse because it's the pressure of playing against these friends of mine. I don't know what it is, but I'm a little tangled up on Saturdays. But I like beer on Friday. I can't.
Well, you... You wouldn't say, you wouldn't bother talking about any of this if you didn't love it. And
right.
I think if you didn't want something more, whatever that is, I don't know if it's beating your son. I don't know if it's beating Jeremy, but.
Well, at least being competitive with them. I mean, I have beaten Owen this year, but he played terrible when I beat him. Like he can really play now. He's playing a lot. And
you're looking for affirmation,
yeah,
in some form here, like, yeah, whether it's just talking about it here or with him or whatever it is. And I don't know. I would say like chase it.
I already said, right, even par is out there. I when I shot 71 last year, I thought I can do this, and I never got close again. Today was the day. You know, one under on the 14th tee. Like, I can do this. No, well, I was one under on the back, so I was even for the round. That's what it was. But still, even to be even on the back, like, was great. And I just couldn't get it home. But that's what I'm striving for.
It doesn't have to be a flaw either.
I want that even par round. I think I can do it. It's out there.
It doesn't have to be a flaw when you miss one.
No,
you're gonna miss some.
Yeah, right. I'm not that good. Just it was a bad time to miss a 2-footer.
Is this another unannounced attempt to avoid talking about the Sabres?
Yes,
maybe it is.
Yeah, yeah. I'll keep going. I mean, I do love it. I don't know what my free time would be like right now if I hadn't started playing. Like I play now, like 2-3 times a week, because I have no entanglements with the kids. My wife works, you know, opposite hours. I mean, she's at work from 7 p.m. to 8 in the morning. So, you know, any night she works, I could be out playing golf. I could play 3 rounds of golf on a Saturday if I wanted to, if I physically could do it. And me with time on my hands and like nothing really good to do, I don't even like thinking about what that could be like. Like, golf is really sort of helping me. And I'm mentioning this thing about, you know, beers. Yesterday was my birthday. I made a tea time as soon as I got home. And my plan was to not even really honor the tea time. I thought, as soon as it's light out, I'm going out there. I'm going to be the first one there, and I'm just going to go play. And so it's my birthday. I don't want to have any beers because I got this in my head. Like, if I have a few beers, I'll feel it in the tea box in the morning. So, no. That's good. That's healthy. So golf is really, I did not see this train coming, but I got on.
Well, that's a healthy thing. I mean, all of that sounds.
Yep, absolutely.
Especially if it's something that gets you away from things that are unhealthy. It's a win-win.
Right.
Or as former Hawks coach, I believe his name was Mike Woodson, once called it win-win-win.
Mm.
It's a win-win-win situation. We never found out what the third win meant, but it's great. It's better than 2. It's 3. We will talk to Paul Hamilton coming up. Kevin Adams spoke today. It's at least mostly a wrap on summer movement with the Sabres. Of course, I don't think they would ever say it's officially one. Why would you do that? But we'll talk to Paul about the latest on Bowen Byram and what Adams had to say about the moves the Sabres did make. Aaron Schatz today. That'll be cool. Longtime friend of ours, formerly Football Outsiders, now Fantasy Points, talking about the Bills. I've got Keon Coleman takes today. There's a new article on Coleman. I'll say this later and lay it out. I think this is unusual. The range of outcomes on Coleman might be greater than it was a year ago. With a rookie, it's always like, oh, well, what's possible here? Mm-hmm. Anything's possible. Maybe he's amazing. Maybe he's bad. Maybe he's not bad but needs time. It seems like right now you've got strongly bounce back candidate people on Coleman, and then you've got guys like this guy today that I read who was just like, it's not going to be good. So that'll be one thing to talk about as we go through the day. Thanks. And of course, you know, July 4th, preparations.
What does that mean? I don't know. What does that mean? You're going to go buy some fireworks?
Fireworks, napkins. Maybe just napkins are good to have. Prepared grocery store potato or macaroni salads. Things of that nature. We'll take a break here. Come back with Paul, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Holiday vibes, no doubt. Paul Hamilton with us on the Western Hotline. It's been a while since we've talked ABBA with Paul. Maybe it's overdue that we do, Bulldog, don't you think? It's been too long since we've talked about ABBA. Is ABBA holding up these 50 years later, Paul?
Well, they don't do like any reunion concerts or anything like that, although they're getting up there in age, but haven't seen them live in a while.
Live or alive in a while, you're kind of saying here. I have to say, both are true of me. So, Kevin Adams speaking today, how much of, and we have development camp too continuing, how much of where we're at here with Adams with the Sabres is kind of a wrap on things, Paul. Like, it's never that business is necessarily closed, but do they feel like closure?
No, because the Byram thing is still there. I think it seems might be closure after that. You know, he said that, you know, he's always looking to make the team better. And if that mm-hmm. happens, you know, if that comes along, he will do that. But he kind of, you know, said he likes the team and where they're at right now. And so it seems like the Byram thing. And then, of course, getting contract extensions for Tuck and, you know, maybe Kesselring also are on the agenda too. And, you know, those negotiations have started also. But the Byram thing is still there. And, you know, so that has to be figured out one way or the other.
Paul, did I hear it correctly? It sounds to me like Adams is explaining the amount of cap room they have as making sure they have room to fit in a Byram offer sheet. And that's why I don't want to misconstrue it, but it sounded to me like an explanation for why they weren't doing more or more active at all. Am I connecting the wrong dots here? Because I just had trouble with the explanation about it. It just sounds to me like we're not going to use the cap room anyway. You all know it, but he's not going to say that. So he's telling you if somebody comes off the top rope with a $10 million a year offer sheet for Byram, we want to be able to match it.
Well, yeah, he said we have to be ready for anything, and that including that. And he said, we are definitely, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. He said, this is him talking, we are definitely matching anything that were to come along.
Yeah.
So he said, we have to be ready and open for anything. You know, once the Byram situation is taken care of, then you know what kind of cap space you have. Or,
yeah.
I mean, they have approximately around 13.8 as far as million in cap space right now. Timmons needs a deal also. That's not going to be much.
Levi.
You know, so that's, you know, what they're looking at. But, you know, he wants to be ready for any scenario that comes with that. Maybe it almost sounds like he might be expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, expecting an offer sheet type of a scenario. So he doesn't want to be caught, as he said, you know, where, you know, it's like, well, now we can't do that or whatever. Once I think that situation is settled, then, you know, you look, all right, and this is what we've got. And, you know, we'll move forward with that. And the number that I gave you includes, I have Ryan Johnson on the Sabres cap right now. So that would include that. It's not a lot of money, but I'm just saying.
Right,
people
right.
are saying, well, where are you coming from here? I kind of think, for me right now, I don't have Byram in my lineup. I do have Johnson in my lineup. I think he's the guy that they would want in there, you know, should it happen. And then, of course, if Byram signs or if there's an offer sheet and you have that money, then, of course, all that's going
to
change.
I want to get to Johnson in a second because Mike and I were talking about him a little earlier in the week, and I thought maybe the window had closed on him, but maybe it's reopened here for him. But on the Byram situation, is it unfair for me to say back to all of that, well, that's why you trade him before July 1st, so you don't have to worry about keeping cap space warm in the case of an offer sheet because you've already taken care of the business. It's done. He's off your team, and there can't be an offer sheet, and now you can just go about, you know, spending your money.
Yeah, I true, but the problem, you know, the thing is, I don't know what the offers are. I don't know if, you know, right now, it just the Sabres don't seem to like the offers as far as trades go for Byram, and I would not just trade him to trade him. You know, it's just like, well, just to get him off the books, trade him. But I don't think this is equal value. I think we should get more. The way he was talking later in the conversation, it sounds like he might be looking for a forward and a defenseman for Byram. You know, because somebody was asking him about, well, if you don't have Byram, what are you going to do on defense? And it's like, well, I can't answer that question because if I don't have Byram, I don't know what I'm getting back. And he did mention, am I getting back a forward and a defenseman? Am I getting back? You know, so he said, he goes, I'm not avoiding your question, but it matters what he's getting back as far as, you know, where he goes from there.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. What did you want to ask about Johnson?
Oh, just that if you agree with that assertion, like I said, Mike and I talked about it, and I said it was me that said it. Like, I don't know. I feel like he's not up and coming anymore. I think maybe he missed his window, but a 3-year commitment. And year one is, two ways so he can go down at a lower salary. But I think the back end 2 years are full NHL salary. And maybe his play is behind their decision on Docker, Bernard Docker, I should say.
Yeah, and Mike Leone spoke right at the beginning of camp also. And I did, as you know, I got to see playoffs down in Rochester. And you know, what Leone described is what I saw. Johnson, along with Rathbone, were like a shutdown pair down there. And, Johnson saw a lot of key ice time in key situations for them down there. And apparently that's the way it was going during the regular season, too. So, he called him a shutdown pair with Rathbone down there, and it seems like he did blossom a little bit last year playing in Rochester pretty much for the whole season. So I think that's part of it. Adams was talking about Bernard Docker, and he said, you have to look at it different. It almost sounded like he was a little nervous about arbitration with him. He said, we're looking at the guy, maybe our number 8 defenseman here. And he said, if it's just the number of qualifying offer, he said, that's different. But he goes, that's not really what the number is going to be. He goes, that's what you do just to keep his rights.
Right.
And he said, at the end of the day, he goes, this is what he could have. He didn't say what the figure was, but, if he goes to arbitration and wins, that figure is going to be maybe above what they're willing to pay for a number 8 defenseman type of a thing. So he goes, that's one of the reasons they did. But I think Johnson might have played in that also.
Yeah.
And Lindy Ruff's opinion, I think, played into it too, whatever that may be. We don't get a chance to speak with Lindy Ruff, through all this. But, there are going to be some questions for Lindy Ruff too as far as roster construction and those types of things next time we get together with him.
Yeah. Far be it for me to know more about how arbitration works in the NHL than the GM of the Sabres, but Bernard Docker's accomplished exactly what in the league that would get him an arbitration ruling that would be scary. I just can't really even get my head around that. He signed on the open market for $875 yesterday. What was an arbitrator going to go? Oh, he should get $2 million. I don't know. I can't really get my head around that.
I think the move, I think maybe Paul would agree, but I'll find out. I think the move that sort of made this all harder than it needed to be was signing Bryson back in the spring. Like, what was the point of that other than what would be obvious, which is like, we like the player and whatever Ruff thinks, et cetera. But was that worth doing?
Yeah, because, again, he's not in your top 6. He also, that's why I think you're looking at also either a 7-8 guy, which is the same thing as Bernard Docker. What, judging from what Adams was just saying right now, which tells me that Johnson probably is by both of them. And it's the one thing I liked about Bryson is he can go almost a month not playing and jump in and be fine for a game or two and help you play. So he was signed just more for depth. Jason Bryson knows what the Sabres want out of him. He knows he's not in their top 6. You could almost send him to Rochester if you have to. I mean, you've got Timmins, you got Kesselring, it sounds like they like Johnson. And I don't know what they're going to do with the new guy, Jones, that they signed from New York. He did say they were very surprised that he wasn't qualified and he was available to them. So, they had signed him, Zach Jones. So, at $900,000, so... where does he fit in ahead of Bryson, behind Bryson? Is he in Rochester? That type of a scenario.
Yeah. What about Alex Lyon was learned today, Paul? Like what the plan is for him? Is he just here to compete? Was there anything that might have sounded interesting about what was said?
Not interesting, but yeah, I mean, he's here to push Luukkonen. It sounds like Luukkonen is the starting goaltender right now, and but Lyon's here to push him and to be available if needed. You know, he didn't come out and say this, that, well, if Luukkonen fails, we can put Lyon in. That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, and you could. That's, you know, I think why you go get a guy like him. But definitely to push Luukkonen, and, you know, he felt it was a good pair for them. And it also allows them to, you know, keep developing Levi down in Rochester.
I think I got to this yesterday when you were with us, Paul, so I hate to be repetitive, but I'm looking at their forward group. If you get all the way to Kozak, I think it's at 14. I had 13 yesterday, and Kozak's on a two-way deal, so you know there's more flexibility there with him to go to Rochester.
We left him out yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I was at 13, and I left him out because of the two-way thing. But anyway, 13, if not 14 forwards signed. I feel like his salary is also more manageable. You know, other guys here, like, you know, are just bigger numbers. Danforth, for example, $1.8 million. Like, he's on your team. He's on this team anyway.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely is.
So, where is a new guy going if they were to find their way to one? that's a question I might have. Like, is this team going to – unless they throw one of these guys, throw a Krebs in as a sweetener in a deal or something that they find to their liking that includes Byram, then maybe that's how you open up a spot that way. But if all they're doing is looking to deal Byram for the right deal, I don't know that I'm expecting anything up top here, especially at the high end of the roster.
Yeah, and the thing is, I talked about who do I have in my salary cap. I do not have Kozak. I have him starting in Rochester.
Yeah.
You know, right now I have somebody, Danforth, Doan, Malenstein, somebody like that as the extra forward.
Right.
And I don't know if they would go with two extra D. The Byram thing is what throws everything off for me, is where are your extra guys? You know, is Byram in your lineup? Is he not? You know, who are your extra forwards? What are they doing with Jones? You know, is Bryson up here? You know, whether you go with two extra D and one extra forward, two extra forwards, one extra D. You can always trade a forward also. You might, you know, if something comes along, you can trade Malenstein. Or I know it didn't work out maybe quite as well as they – I mean, he certainly, you know, was in on the forecheck and did those things. But, you know, he had quite a few more points in Washington than he did in Buffalo. You like for him to contribute a little bit. But if a good forward comes available and you got to trade Quinn or somebody, fine. Trade Quinn. I don't care. Or Quinn maybe is on the outside looking in then. I mean, that's right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I put my depth chart, I have him playing basically with Norris and Tuck. But if something comes along where you can get a forward top six and Quinn's not dressed, I have zero problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, to put it in there, and maybe he and Danforth are your the two guys that, you know, aren't dressing type of a scenario. So there's a number of different ways to look at it. You can always open up a spot if, as you said, you could trade Krebs somewhere. If, you know, because Danforth, you know, if you want Danforth in the lineup, maybe Krebs goes to the wing and Danforth goes to the middle. And maybe you got Danforth, Doan, and Malenstein. And, you know, you can trade somebody else to So I think there are a number of – I wouldn't shy away from trying to get a forward. I wouldn't say there aren't any jobs. You can open up a job any way you'd like. And as I said, you can do it by trade. You can do it however you'd like to do it. If they're afraid of opening up a job, you know, well, if they can really improve this team with a forward and they're afraid of opening up a job, that would, like, blow my head off.
Well, the reason I'm thinking that way, Paul, is because of the money. I don't think they're going to put $1.8 million in the press box in Danforth. Like, I think if he's on the team, he's going to be in the lineup. And so I'm worried about if they want to spend enough to make something happen here. That's really it.
Well, then Doan at 925 would be sitting. I mean,
yeah.
I once we get to the season, that's up to Lindy Ruff. I mean, I how much money you have sitting in the press box?
Yeah.
To me, you just kind of totally ignore that. I mean, that's up to Lindy Ruff what he wants to do with his lineup and who should be playing and who shouldn't be. And then you run into injuries too. You know, who's hurt, who's not, through training camp, and you know they're not going to, you know, not have injuries and that type of thing. So, but that's, you know, I did raise my eyebrow a little bit today when he kind of made it sound like, well, if something comes along, we're certainly going to be looking to improve our team. But
yeah,
he kind of made it sound like they're finished.
He sounded to me like his team's on the floor. Yeah, that's what I think too.
Salary floor
on Byram. I want to just make this observation and get reactions perhaps from both of you. Has there been any noise from Byram, or really more importantly, the agent, throughout all this? Like when Adams talks about Byram and he understands where we're at, and I've been honest with the agent, I'm inclined to believe him. Like, I know people in this position, Adams himself, are gonna you know, because they feel they need to mislead you, maybe flat out even lie. But I feel like if Byram and the agent felt like they were getting strung along here and getting stonewalled on, you know, getting a trade in place and getting him out of here and signing the lifetime achievement contract that he's certainly, I'm sure, looking for at this point in his career, maybe they'd be rattling the cage a little bit. But I've not, unless I've missed it, I've not heard a peep out of them, which sort of tells me that they're on board, sort of waiting by the phone to see what happens. Yes, we'd like to go somewhere else, but if we can't, you know, we're not going to be miserable about it.
No, I think you're right. I believe what I've heard from Kevin Adams about Byram. You can go back to Sam Reinhart. Sam Reinhart was perfectly willing to play out with the Sabres one more year if he had to. He was fine. He goes, you have me for one more year. If you want me to play here, I'll play here. That's fine, but I'm not re-signing. Just to let you know, I'm not re-signing with the team. He felt like, you know, that he never had gotten an offer for a long-term deal. He felt slighted by that. Three different GMs. And it was like, Kevin, that's fine if you want to offer something, but I'm not going to take it. I just don't feel like right. I've been respected. But he was totally fine with, if you want me to play the final year here, I will. That, you know, I'm responding, I'll give you everything I've got.
Right.
And I think Byram's in that situation too. It's like, you know, I can't be an unrestricted free agent for two more years. If, you know, you want me to play another year, that's fine. And I believe him that Bo Byram will give you everything he's got, just like he did last year. He's not going to be pouting. He's going to have a smile on his face in the locker room and be interacting with his teammates and trying to win hockey games. And, if that winds up being the case. So Adams hasn't said anything here where my eyebrows raised, going, ooh, that doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what he's been saying about Bo Byram does sound right from what I know of Bo Byram.
What's new with development camp, which runs through tomorrow?
This has been a weird development camp, Mike. It really has. I was sitting there today. I've hardly seen any of it. I'm in front of it. But I'm writing stories about free agency and, you know, concentrating kind of on other things. It just seems like it landed at a spot that's been different in other years. I mean, I haven't even had a chance to write anything about it. I think that's going to happen when development camp's over, you know, when finally all this stuff is past us. And then I can talk about some of the guys from development camp who we've chatted with. Some of the local guys, Mertka and that type of thing. And I can kind of get to that. But as far as if you say, well, what have you seen? Well, I've seen my computer top, and I've seen Kevin Adams talking while it's going on next to us. And nothing really is computed all that much. I think where I really will get a good eyeful and be able to concentrate is tomorrow during the 3-on-3. And, you know, see some of these guys compete in that. But this is the first time I can remember where, as I said, I've been in front of development camp, but I've kind of been sidetracked doing other things, even though it's going on in front of me.
Is there a player you're most excited about, at least?
The kids in college, I really was looking forward to seeing and actually even seeing tomorrow. Guys that, Kleber, who was a second round pick. Mertka, of course. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the 3-on-3 to see what they have in him. I'm curious also about the goaltender, in Seattle has done a good job. Who, if you remember last year, he played the preseason game because the Sabres were over in Germany and Czechia. So it was, as he called it, it was the Buffalo Amherst playing like the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Ratzlaff was in goal playing the Blue Jackets team, the NHL team. And for the two periods he played, he shut him out. And he looked at it, he goes, I looked at Twitter and saw their lineup, and he goes, what do I got to lose? Just go play. and he got in net and showed at least that, I think he'll probably be the pair with Levi in Rochester this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. But, when I say guys like Adam Kleber, the second round pick last year, a big kid, right defenseman, Brody Ziemer, who was the third round pick last year, who played at Minnesota this year. It's not very many guys that play as true freshmen at Minnesota. And he talked about that today where, when you're a true freshman, you're going up against guys who are, 4 years older than you, 5 years older than you? Because most guys go to the USHL before they wind up in college. That's what Kleber did. He played 2 years in Lincoln for the USHL before he played for the University of Minnesota Duluth. And the two of them actually are both from Minnesota. They played Pee Wee hockey together. They were on the same team in Pee Wee.
Kleber and Ziemer?
Yeah. That talked about that. But Kleber's just such a big guy. I mean, he's 6'5", and he's still smaller than Mertka. and he's a right-handed shooting defenseman as a number two. Unfortunately, Sturbeck couldn't be here, the number two in 2023. But here's a right-handed shooting defenseman, also was a number two pick playing at Michigan State, and I would have loved to have seen him again. But the thing about Ziemer, I remember last year in development camp in this 3-on-3, he's got an absolute missile for a shot. And, he gets it off in a hurry. And so that's, to have that already, as he's only played 1 year of college. So this is the chance to see the college guys, and I'm looking forward to that. Gavin McCarthy, the third-round pick from Clarence Center. He's a guy playing at Boston University. I'm looking forward to seeing him and his progress. So those are the guys, we get to see now because we don't get to see them at the Prospects Tournament because they're already in school and they can't be here. So this is a chance to see those guys that the Sabres have drafted.
Very good. Thanks, Paul. Keep your head up tomorrow.
I will be. I'll be looking. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Good work this week, Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
It's only Wednesday. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul's appearances with us brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Look ahead to the AFC and the Bills season with Aaron Schatz after the break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.